So the first reading today, there is great wisdom and great simplicity in what God says to his people. Do not oppress the alien in your midst, because you yourself have been aliens. Just in case you forgot, you were in Egypt, and Egypt was not your place to live. And you were there. You were there out of necessity. You were there in order to find food, in order to preserve your families. Don't forget this, because when you do have property, when you do have possession, others will come, and they will be in need. See in them yourselves. Remember your past. Remember your history. See your neighbor. See yourself. Take care of widows and orphans. I love how blunt God is. Because if you don't, I will kill you with the sword. And your own spouse and your children will be widows and orphans. See in them your own family. God is making it very clear to see in each other that who we are, dignity, worth, is not characteristic of what we possess or what we have or don't have or where we are, but it comes from something greater. You see, every time that God reveals something about us, we can understand this. Anytime we approach Scripture, anytime the little brothers, little sisters, lamb, do a little Scripture study and this and that, there are always three questions that you can ask of the Scripture. What does this reveal about who God is? What does it reveal about who you are? And what is my response supposed to be? Those three things, you can always approach Scripture in that. What does this reveal about God? What does this reveal about who I am? And what I mean by that is not just like I trying to glean from it whatever I want. It's what God reveals about himself, what God reveals about who we are, what God reveals about what my response is supposed to be. That last part of that first reading is so simple. You know, you offer a loan to someone, you give them the money and you expect some collateral. That things haven't changed 2,000 years. The demanding interest on it is really interesting. You have to think about that. But ultimately, he says, if you receive, you know, a token, a collateral, and it's the only garment that this person has, and it comes to the nighttime and it's cold, go and give it back to them for the night. There's something so simply beautiful about this that God commands. And it's a command. I mean, the Pharisees who are in the gospel who are asking Jesus this, they are all about the commands of God. If you've taken this as a token and it's cold, you need to return it. I fulfilled the law. But see, there's something greater than the law here. God is teaching his people who they are. Teaching his people to see that the fulfillment of the law is not just practices of the law. The fulfillment of the law is you knowing who you are and what you are created to be. You are supposed to see in the one that you've loaned money, your neighbor, you're supposed to see yourself in them so that you can have compassion towards them. You're still doing business. The next morning, the neighbor returns the cloak to you. Yeah, it's a little hefty, but the whole idea, you know, in the sense of it's just. It is just. We turn to the gospel text, And it's interesting because this follows Jesus silencing the Sadducees, right? The Sadducees trying to trick Jesus, trying to mock the resurrection, trying to do these different things. It's several times that they try and test Jesus. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are two separate groups of people that have their own disagreements, internal disagreements in the Jewish community and such. But the Pharisees see Jesus silence the Sadducees, and it's like for the first time, it seems like they are actually asking Jesus for wisdom. Every other time that they ask him questions, they are doing it to test him, you know, to try him, to find something against him, to condemn him. But it seems that for the first time, after they saw his wisdom revealed in the trap that the Sadducees had laid for them, or laid for Jesus, they were kind of like, wow. It seems that they are actually curious about this question. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus' response, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are two separate commandments in the law. Jesus brings them together with this mighty word that we call a conjunction, and. Showing that love of God and love of neighbor cannot be separated. So what is God teaching? What is he revealing about himself in this? He's revealing that humanity is made in his image and likeness. To love God invites us to love humanity, who is made in his image and likeness. You cannot separate the two. And because we are called to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, God wants to reveal himself to us so that we can love him. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, you are to obey the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. He says, you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. The question that the Pharisees asked Jesus, to connect with the point I made earlier, could be phrased this way. Jesus, what is humanity? Who are we supposed to be? Who are we? And Jesus' answer could have been exactly the same thing. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, in immaturity, in God's great revealing of himself through time, it takes literally generations for God to reveal himself in all that he is until it is fulfilled in Jesus. He is making these beautiful approaches to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then the people of Israel and then doing all of these things to enter into their life, to reveal his love and compassion and who he is, that they would know him. He even has to give them the law, the commandments, that they might accord their life and their actions in accordance with his will so that their dignity and worth might be revealed. That they would not be slaves of sin, but live in freedom. But what we see revealed in Jesus Christ, when God becomes man, is the fullness of God's revelation. Jesus is living out the love of God and love of neighbor in our midst. And revealing to us in the fullness of all things what love is, who God is, so that we might love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Can you love God fully, as you were invited to, without knowing him? That's doubtful. Can you imagine? we don't do it too much in our culture. Now, there are cultures that still do this, but you know, arranged marriages. Right? We are all about love being a part of marriage, right? It's all of the movies, all of the romantic songs, all of these things. You know, I think we put too much emphasis on that. Get away from the whole idea of like actually being able to choose to enter into marriage, our freedom. You know, like, no, I fell madly in love with this person. I have no freedom in this. It's just, it's destiny. It's all of this other stuff. I was going to cough and say something, but it's being recorded, so I didn't do it. You can't really love someone unless you know them. There are a lot of people that think they know who God is. And for centuries and centuries and centuries, they presume to love God. But God must reveal himself. Jesus speaks about this. The only one that knows the Father is the Son, because the Son has been with the Father. And he comes into the world to reveal the Father so that you might know him and love him. Jesus is not just a redeemer. Jesus is the one that imparts wisdom and understanding and light and truth and life into our life, that we might know God and love him. Can a person love God authentically and hate themselves? I would dare say no. How can you say that I love a God in whose image and likeness I am created and cannot see that image and likeness in myself and hate and despise myself? Now, I'm not talking about this stuff in which we look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm good, I'm special, people love me. You know, it's the Stuart Smalley Saturday Night Live. He's got the little mirror and he's looking at it and he's like, and gosh darn it, people love me. I'm not talking about self-affirmation. I'm talking about truth. When God speaks and reveals that you are loved, you have dignity, you have worth, you are made in the image and likeness of God himself. You cannot hate yourself and presume to love God. And you can't hate yourself and say that I love my neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't work, my brothers and sisters. Jesus comes to reveal this connection between who God is, who I am, and who my neighbor is. The only, and this is the thing, for some of us, it might not be that hard to love yourself. I smile when I say that because in my imagination, my heart doesn't go there. My heart goes to the other extreme. My heart goes to me despising myself. Seeing my weaknesses, seeing my shortcomings, seeing my inabilities, and despising them and hating myself. That's the direction I normally go, all right? But I would imagine that some people, in their delusions about their grandeur and their greatness, love themselves. But I smile and laugh because it's not really true. If we don't see ourselves truthfully, in true humility of who we are, nothing more, nothing less, we can't authentically say that we love ourselves. We can love a facade. We can love an image of ourselves. We can love the all of these other things. But to actually love ourselves, we must know who we are, and we must have the example of one who loves us. That's what I dare say, because as we experience. It would be one thing if there was no sin in the world and there was no fall. I think it would be easier to love ourselves because we would think and everything in our life would be ordered to the processes of communion with God and all of these beautiful things. But in our brokenness, in the shortcomings, in our experience of life and all of these things, we need the witness of one who loves us in our brokenness, in our ability. It is why the message of Jesus Christ, of one who gives himself for us, not that we had loved him, not that we had made ourselves perfect, but that in our imperfection, in our brokenness, God reveals that we are loved. The original goodness that he planted within us, the original design, the original invitation of life and communion and love that he has with us is revealed in his Son giving his life in love for us. So the courage to love ourselves comes from one loving us first. Now we can be skeptical of ourselves. We can lack confidence in ourselves and our brokenness and all these things. But my brothers and sisters, we must love ourselves. And the only way that you deserve to be loved is the way in which God loves you. Okay, you don't get to invent your own way of loving yourself. The world right now is masters at learning ways to love ourselves. But how God loves us reveals the truth of who we are, our dignity, our worth. And in loving ourselves truthfully, we will be able to see in our neighbor the one who is loved as we are loved. So, God gives us a command. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and all of your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is not a to-do. First and foremost, my brothers and sisters, this is a revealing of who you are. Fulfilling this is not separate from the understanding of who God is and who you are. Remember what I said before, I posit the question, the Pharisees saying, what is the greatest commandment? They could have simply said, what is humanity? How do we live it in all of its fullness? How do we fulfill what we were created to be? Love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and all of your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you will be who you have been created to be. Jesus and all that Jesus does sets us free to be able to do this. Because what do? We see this request and then we stand face to face with the limitations of ourselves. We come face to face with the brokenness. We come face to face with death and dying and sickness and disease and cancer. We come face to face with all of these things, and yet I am supposed to love in the face of this. Because what Jesus did, destroying sin and death, rising victorious from the grave, and inviting us into this, we are now set free to fulfill this command. But you cannot fulfill it without knowledge of God, without God revealing himself to you, and you cannot fulfill it without the freedom that he has given to us in Jesus Christ. To truly love, to pour ourselves out, requires all that God has done in us entering in. You want a rule of life, an understanding to which to order your life, it's right there. It's who you are. May we receive it not as a list of things to do, but as an understanding of the great dignity that we possess. Amen.